Rick Newman is a columnist for Yahoo Finance and the author of Liberty for All, a manifesto for reclaiming financial and political freedom. I read Rick's column several times a week, and his most recent one had the headline that caught my eye. It says, "The tide is turning against rich CEOs." CEOs like the guy in charge of Dunkin' Donuts, Nigel Travis, who recently said that increasing the minimum wage to $15 is outrageous. He didn't say anything about his compensation doubling last year from $5 million to $10 million. That's not outrageous, but paying people 15 bucks an hour who work in Dunkin' Donuts, that's outrageous. Rick, good morning. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Paul.
Is that sort of story the kind of thing you're talking about?
Yeah, but I think what's different is beyond just the outrage factor that ordinary people might feel, we're actually seeing changes start to happen that are a reaction to statements like that, and also a reaction to the big gap between CEO pay and ordinary worker pay. The most recent big change was New York State just is on the verge of voting in a $15 minimum wage for fast food workers across the state. And that's a big deal. I mean, this is happening across an entire state. I mean, there are many parts of New York State are not high-cost, high-wage areas such as New York City, and that's going to cause difficulties for some employers, especially in the western part of the state where it's a lower cost of living area.
So you've got people who are going from a minimum wage of $7.25, $7.50, $8 an hour, all the way up to $15. When you say that's
I don't think it's going to be that abrupt. I mean, where these types of changes are happening, we've seen this. We've seen a $15 minimum wage get voted in places like Los Angeles, San Francisco, Seattle. I think Chicago now has a $13 minimum wage. For the most part, these are phased in, so it's not going to happen overnight, but the minimum wage will rise in steps up to a maximum of $15 in many of these cases. But that, in high cost of living areas, employers can probably afford that without too much trouble, I think. There are some areas where that's a big leap, and that's a big increase in labor costs, especially if you're not McDonald's, but you might be a sandwich shop that has 5 or 6 outlets or something like that. I mean, that's a significant change.
But at least there's some attention being paid now to people who are not being part of this economic recovery. I mean, all the numbers show that the people who have made the most in the last 7 years as we pulled out of this recession have been the one percenters, while there's been a lot of wage stagflation for the rest of the country, right?
Perfectly right. The average wage has been going up something like 2% per year. That will keep you even with inflation, but nobody really feels they're getting ahead if they're just keeping up with inflation, and at best a 2% annual increase in pay. And a lot of people are falling behind that. So that average wage reflects the people who are getting the big pay increases, and a lot of people who are getting no pay increase or maybe even falling behind. Maybe they've had to take a lower paying job because the higher paying job isn't there anymore. So this is an imperfect, minimum wage laws are not the way you'd prefer to do it. You'd prefer to see the economy taking off and the demand for workers going up, and that's the preferred way to raise wages, but that's not happening in a lot of areas. So we are finally seeing some action to get the government to do it.
Do you expect that to happen across the country? I mean, we're not seeing it much here in the St. Louis area.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised it has happened as much as it has. And there are other parts of the country where, this is why we have the federal minimum wage, is when states or cities don't set a higher minimum wage than the federal number. So there's been talk about raising the federal minimum wage. President Obama wants to raise it from $7.25 per hour to $10.10. But he hasn't been able to get anywhere on that. Congress doesn't seem likely to do anything about that while Obama is still in office. So no, I think you're right. I think there will be many parts of the country where nothing happens at the state or local level, and Congress is not going to intervene.
You know, when I worked at McDonald's as a teenager, and we're talking a long time ago in the 70s, Rick, I think I was making $2.25, maybe $2.50 an hour. I ran that through an inflation adjuster online. It would be $10.60 an hour now if you just adjusted for inflation along the way. We're still not there in a lot of places.
Yeah, and you know, one of the problems with the federal minimum wage is it does not automatically adjust for inflation, so it requires Congress to reset it periodically, which it has done. But over time, the minimum, the buying power of the minimum wage has declined because the wage itself has not kept up with inflation. I think the minimum wage, when you adjust for inflation, peaked around 1967, and it's been falling ever since. But, you know, one important thing I'd like to add, Paul, so you just mentioned when you worked at McDonald's, lots of people worked at a fast food restaurant or some kind of minimum wage job when they were teenagers or when they were younger. The problem we have today is we have too many people who are not teenagers, but 20, 30, 40-something-year-old people trying to support a family on those jobs because the move-up jobs are not there or they just don't have the skills to get into the jobs that pay better. So that's created this tension around these jobs that really were never designed to be jobs that would support a family. These have always been jobs for young people or for people who will eventually move into higher-paying work. They are not moving into higher-paying work these days, and that is what's really causing a lot of the problem here.
Yeah, or in some of these cases, you've got people who were badly affected by the recession, lost their jobs. They're middle-aged people. They've got pushed out of what might have been a decent or high-paying job. They can't find anything, and they find themselves among the ranks of our underemployed in this country, and now they have to try to support a family with minimum-wage jobs.
You're right, and this gets back to what the Dunkin' Donuts CEO, I think, was trying to communicate, which is that, you know, minimum wage jobs, for the most part, are not what you'd call skilled labor, at least not highly skilled labor. I mean, in many cases, they're jobs that, you know, a lot of people could do. So we've got an oversupply of workers for these jobs, and if you think about this in pure economic terms, there's no reason to pay people more when, you know, anybody else could do that job, and I think that's what the Dunkin' Donuts CEO was trying to get across, that paying people more just because somebody thinks they should earn more is not the right way to do it. But these are the tensions that are going on in the economy right now. When the economy itself does not extend prosperity to enough people, we start looking around for political solutions, and that's where we are.
CEOs that are making millions of dollars, you ever hear them like giving back their bonuses? It just doesn't happen very often. And is this like the most that they have, is this like the peak of what some CEOs are making now that the economy is better?
Yeah, this has become a rigged game for CEOs. I mean, they hire compensation committees, compensation consultants to come in and say, here's what a fair price for CEO. I mean, we've seen wage inflation because CEOs themselves have the ability to control what they get paid to some measure. Not entirely, but they can influence it. And it's a rigged game for them. So it's great. It's a great time to be a CEO. Now, we have seen there are some new efforts, such as the Securities and Exchange Commission, that's the federal regulator, is now looking at a rule that might require CEOs to disclose the ratio of pay within the company from the CEO to the average worker within that company, which means we'll be able to rank the companies by those that have the most overpaid and underpaid CEOs relative to what their workers get. So this is the political blowback to CEOs getting paid what a lot of people feel is too much. So I think we're going to see the pendulum swing back a little bit. I think CEOs are still going to do okay. I'm not real worried about
that. I don't think you have to worry about them, but I don't know how some of these CEOs look at themselves in the mirror every morning. I know that they're responsible for making the bottom line look better, and in some cases that means getting people off the payroll to try to make your company more efficient. But when you do that at the same time that your salary is going up millions of dollars a year, I don't know how you can swallow your food.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're trying to impose morality on the corporate suite, Paul. I mean, where is that in the economic textbook?
Yeah.
I get your point. If it makes you feel better, I mean, you know, CEOs, We are doing a better job of paying CEOs relative to their performance. Performance, for the most part, means the stock price. It doesn't mean the quality of life of your workers. But CEOs have been able to rig this lately by doing things sort of artificially bump up the stock price. Share buybacks is one of them. Now, the economy will turn at some point. The stock market will go back down. The historic six-year rally in stocks will end. And CEOs are not going to be able to do those kind of things so much anymore. So we will see a little bit of a reckoning in the future. But like I say, CEOs will always end up fine because they're the boss.
Last question I have for you is, do you think as we approach a presidential election last year, there's any political will to do anything about this, especially if you consider, I mean, you point out in your piece that even one-third of Republicans in this country want higher taxes on the rich. Is any of that going to change in this political hot season?
Well, voters get to have a say on this, don't they? So I think voters are going to send a message, and they're going to let us know how important they think this is. Now, you certainly have one prominent candidate, Hillary Clinton, Democrat, who is talking about doing things like raising taxes on the wealthy. She wants to realign incentive structures so that ordinary workers participate more in the success of their companies. And if voters like what they hear, they'll elect her. If they don't, if they don't think this is that big a deal, maybe they'll go for a Republican who says, no, we should rely more on market incentives. So we're going to test this. We always test this to some extent when we have elections, but it has become an intensifying problem. There's no doubt income inequality is worsening. So, yes, it's going to be a big issue in the 2016 election.
Rick Newman, columnist for Yahoo Finance and author of Liberty for All, a manifesto for reclaiming financial and political freedom. Always a pleasure, Rick. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.